So this month we've been talking about this idea, this sermon series on pointing fingers, and we've been discussing, sorry, I thought that was an echo there. I didn't think I was just hearing things. But we've been talking about, from our last lesson, we talked about this idea of being too quick to point fingers at other people, to judge other people, that when Jesus tells us, judge not, lest you be judged. What he is saying is that we need to look to self first before we make any judgment calls on our brother. Before we can point out the speck in our brother's eye, we need to make sure that we acknowledge the log that it's in our own eye. So that was what we talked about last week, this idea of pointing fingers and being very careful at who we accuse and who we judge and who we talk to and what we say. And as disciples of Jesus, we need to recognize that part of this, part of pointing fingers is not always negative. But there's a positive side to that where we say we're in this thing together. And the speck in your brother's eye very well may need to be dealt with. And we're here to help. But before we can even begin the process of helping, we have to acknowledge that we have sinned and we have transgressed our God. And in that light, in that attitude, in that mood, we are able to effectively help our brothers and sisters with the speck that's in their eyes. So this morning, as we look at the next part of this in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus, and we're going to look specifically at verse 12. And then we'll go back and look at the context a little bit. In verse 12, Jesus says, treat people in the same way that you want them to treat you. For this is the law and the prophets. All right? This is often referred to as the golden rule. You hear it all over the place and all the time that people quote this and say this as the golden rule. To treat people in the same way that you want them to treat you. And I want to add a similar verse. I think it's important for us to look at Matthew 22 also as part of this study to help us understand Jesus' words. Because in Matthew 22 and verse 36, Jesus says this. Well, it's said to Jesus, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. This is the greatest and foremost commandment. And then verse 39, the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. So what does Jesus mean? What does Jesus mean that this is the law and the prophets? Because when we think about the law, we think about most often the Ten Commandments, right? That's what we think about when we think about the law. We think about all of the additional commandments that came after the Ten Commandments, the 603 additional commandments that come after the Ten Commandments. And we think about the prophets and the words of the prophets, and we think about the complexity of it all, don't we? It's so complex. It's so complex. Who can memorize all those laws? Who can properly execute justice in God's world? Who can remember all the words of the prophets? Who can effectively do these things? And there's a level of complexity to this, right? And the lives of God's people, his nation, they were governed by the laws of God. They were governed by these laws, that they were a nation. We don't understand what that means. I mean, we kind of do in a sense, but even as the church, as Christians, we are a nation within a nation. For Israel, they were a nation. They were a nation. And their leaders were ordained by God. Moses was of God, and all the prophets are of God. And God communicated to them. They were a nation. Yes, they experienced some time in exile, so there was a sense in which they had a similar circumstance that we have, but we need to think about them as a nation. They needed a law, and God provided this law to govern them and control their actions. In fact, we think about the Ten Commandments, but we also think about the other laws. Whenever the people of God needed to have answers, they had questions, they had things come up in their life, they would go to Moses. And they would ask him, you know, what does God want us to do in this circumstance? How do I handle this situation? What do I do here? And Moses would inquire of God, and God would communicate to them and tell them, well, this is what God wants you to do. This is how you deal justly with your neighbor. This is how you deal with that land dispute. This is how you deal with this marital situation. Whatever the situation, they had to go to God and ask, what do we do? They would go through Moses and ask, what does God want us to do? And God would tell them, this is what you do. But then in Jesus' day, if we think about Jesus' day, all the time that has passed from Moses all the way to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the different people of that day, when we look at those people in Jesus' day, It was those who could seemingly interpret the law and the prophets. It was those who had them memorized, right? They had them on their foreheads or on their arm. They memorized all the words of the prophets, all the words of the laws. It was these people who memorized these things and could seemingly interpret these things properly. These are the people who were considered righteous in Jesus' day. Those who knew the law, who knew the prophets, who had them memorized and could interpret seemingly correct ways or will of God. And so we think about the priests, and we think about the Pharisees, we think about the scribes, we think about all the people in Jesus' day who seemingly could do this. And the focus was on the complexity, wasn't it? It was, how complex are you? How knowledgeable are you? How many of God's commandments have you memorized? And most Jews had all of them memorized. How much do you know about God's will? How many of the prophets? It said that most Jews in Jesus' day would have all the Psalms memorized. That they would know the Psalms. That they had all of these in their hearts. And that was the focus, wasn't it? That was the focus, to say that as long as you're there, you are righteous. And it's not to say that was wrong. I mean, it was good for them to do that. They needed to do that. They were commanded to do that. But the focus was on that, the complexity of the law. The more complex it is, the better. And the more righteous you are, the more that you have memorized. But then look at Jesus' words. When Jesus comes on the scene and he says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. Do this. Or Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. Or when he says, treat people in the same way that you want them to treat you. The complexity is not in knowing, but the complexity is in doing. You see the shift? It's not the righteous are not those that have it all memorized and have it all figured out and have all the interpretations. They're not the walking commentaries of Jesus' day. The righteous are those who are doing the will of the Father, who are doing these things. And that's what Jesus is drawing out for his disciples, that the righteous are those who are doing the will of God. They are not those who have all of the rules memorized. The righteous are doing. It's loving God. It's loving God. It's loving your neighbor. It's treating other people the way you want them to treat you. And then again, it's not to say that the law wasn't important, and it's not to say that these people weren't important, and it's not to say that memorizing these things and internalizing them was not important. But what Jesus is pointing out is what's more important is not just what you know, but it's what you do. It's what you do. It's what you put into action. That is more important. That is the focus. And there's complexity in that, isn't there? I mean, some of these things are complex. And you think about loving your neighbor as yourself. And yeah, it's easy to say, But it's not always easy to do. And you think about treating other people the way you want them to treat you, and that's easy to say, but it's not always easy to do. There's complexity in doing. I don't do very many sport analogies, but it reminded me of sports in general. A lot of times when you think about a sport that's happening, whatever it might be, football or whatever, but you have a lot of spectators, right? And a lot of those spectators are experts in the sport, aren't they? I mean, they know everything, all the rules, all the highlights, all the stats. I mean, the spectators are often experts in the sport. But if you put shoulder pads on a spectator and you put them in the game, what do you think is going to happen? Do you think all their knowledge and all the do you think it's going to do them any good? It's not going to do much good at all, is it? There's a huge difference, isn't there, in knowing and doing. And Jesus is saying that his disciples need to be doers. Don't worry about the fact that the Pharisees know more than you. Don't worry about the fact that the Sadducees know more than you or the priest or the scribes. You're going to be going to their homes and teaching them the ways of God. Don't worry about that. Worry about the complexity of doing, being the people of God. That is being a disciple of Jesus. But notice how we are to look at self first. Notice how when we look at others, the first thing we do is we point to us. We look to ourselves first before we can look to others, before I can love my neighbor. Before I can love my neighbor, I have to look to self. Love your neighbor as yourself. And before I can treat others well, I have to acknowledge how I want them to treat me. I have to look to self first before I can approach others. And it makes sense when we think about this in light of the law and the prophets, doesn't it? Think about it. I don't want anybody to take my life. So guess what? I'm not going to take somebody else's life. I already know what I want. I already know that I don't want my life taken. Don't do it to somebody else. Or I don't want people stealing my things. I don't want people breaking into my house and taking my stuff. So guess how I should treat others? Don't steal from other people. These are the negative side of this verse, the negative idea that we don't want people to do to us, so we don't do to them in a negative sense. But there's also a positive side to this also, isn't there? There's a positive side. Whenever I say that I want somebody to forgive me, of whatever I may have done, that I need forgiveness. So guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to forgive somebody. I'm going to forgive them. I do unto others as I want them to do to me. If I need forgiveness, guess what my brother needs? If I need forgiveness, guess what my neighbor needs? Forgiveness. There's a positive side to this. Whenever we think about the fact that there are times when I might be hungry, or I might need clothing, or I might need shelter, and I think, you know, I know what my needs are. I know that I need food. I know that I need water to drink. I know I need shelter. I know I need clothing. So guess what my neighbor needs? My neighbor needs all of those things. My neighbor needs food. My neighbor needs shelter. My neighbor needs clothing. So by looking to me, to myself and what I need, I can turn around and I can look to my neighbor and my brother, and I already know what their needs are. I already know what their needs are. I treat them how I want them to treat me. Look at verse 7 of Matthew chapter 7. It says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be open." Now, I'm sure you've seen this acronym, ask, seek, and knock. It's an easy way to remember this, but you've probably already seen this before. And then in verse 9, he says, "Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will he give him a stone?" Or in verse 10, "Or if he asks for a fish, will he not give him a snake? Will he? I mean, what kind of person does that? I mean, who would ever do that? Who, when their son asks them for bread, would ever give them a stone? Or what kind of father out there would ever give their child a snake when they desired to have a fish? I mean, who would do this? What kind of person would do this? And then he says in verse 11, if you then, being evil. Now, what he's saying is just the idea of the comparison of God. You're of the world. And talking about, sometimes this is in reference to Gentiles specifically, but it just you of the world, you of the people, being evil, now know how to give good gifts to your children? How much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? So what do we know about our Father who is in heaven? What do we know about his character? Well, we know that he loves us, right? We know that our Father in heaven loves us. We know that he knows us intimately. He knows our needs. He knows our desires. He knows us. Our Father in heaven knows everything that we need. He is the good gift giver, right? Those are things that we know about our Father. And then Jesus says in verse 12, in everything, therefore, treat people the same way that you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets. Now, I want you to think for a minute. Think about everything that you have ever asked your Father in heaven. Have you ever requested anything of God? Have you ever had a struggle that you needed to take to God? Have you ever prayed to your Father? Maybe you've had financial problems and you've prayed to your Father. Maybe you were hungry and you prayed to your Father. Maybe you needed forgiveness and you prayed to your Father. Have you ever asked your Father for bread? Have you ever asked your Father for bread? Well, then go and give bread. You see how that works? Jesus is saying, think about your prayer life. Think about who your God is. Think about the requests that you request of God. And then think about how he treats you. Think about how he responds to you. What requests do you have? Because if you have those requests, if you are praying those things to your God, there's a good chance that your neighbor is too, and your brother and your sister, they too request those things. So think about your God. Think about how loving he is. Think about him as a father, right? And Jesus has said this over and over again, your Father who is in heaven. Think about your requests and then turn around and respond to somebody else. If you're requesting of God bread, turn around and give bread. If you are requesting of your God fish, then guess what? Turn around and give fish. You see, we ask our Father for forgiveness, don't we? So guess what we should do? We turn around and we forgive our neighbors. See, nobody has to tell us, right? Nobody has to tell us what our neighbor needs. Nobody has to sit there and give us a rule book of everything that our neighbor needs, because what our neighbor needs is what we need, isn't it? We need these things too. So just think about your needs and then turn around and treat other people that way. Think about how you want them to treat you and then treat them the same way. Think about your Father in heaven. Think about how God treats you, how he loves you, how he is willing to provide for you. And then you turn around and do the same thing for somebody else. Treat people the same way that you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets. And then Jesus says this in verse 13. Enter through the narrow gates, for the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who will enter through it. For the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. It is easy. It is easy to be self-serving, isn't it? It is so easy to be self-serving. And we live in a world that makes it so easy to be self-serving. We we pump our own gas, and we even pay at the pump and drive off. We don't even talk to anybody, right? We're so used to self-serving. We go through the self-checkout at the grocery store and don't even raise our head to look at somebody. Just take care of our needs and we leave. We order things online and we don't even leave our house. It just shows up on our front step and we just go check on it and there it is. We live in a culture that is so self-serving, and it's easy. It's easy to get into the mindset of just taking care of number one. Just taking care of me. As long as I have what I need, I'm okay. As long as things are coming in and I have all of my needs met, and I'm okay. It's so easy in such a self-serving world to just think about number one. But put all of your trust, to put all of your trust, all of your faith in yourself, right? Instead of God. To put all of your trust, all of your commitment, all of your faith in yourself instead of God. It's so easy to be that way. And when we do this, we neglect the needs of others, don't we? We neglect our neighbor's needs. We reject them. Now, we may not say that out loud, and we may not think about it, but we do. We do. By being self-serving, we reject others. And even though we're going at this thing alone, right? We're self-serving. We're in it on our own. We're all by ourselves. We're sitting at our house waiting for our next Amazon order or for Walmart to deliver our food to our front door. We're just sitting there waiting. We're in it alone, seemingly. But Jesus says, you're not alone. You are not alone. You're not even close to being alone, because there are so many in this world who are self-serving. You might be living alone, and you might be doing things by yourself, and you might be very independent, but there are a lot of people traveling down the same path that you are traveling on. Jesus says that gate is wide, and there will be many people who will travel down that road. There are many people who will go that way, but there's another gate, isn't there? He says there's one that's narrow, and few people are going to travel down that gate. And so instead of the wide gate, take the narrow gate, Jesus says, that leads to life. Don't be self-serving. Don't be self-serving, but look to yourself so that you can know how to take care of your neighbor. Look to yourself so you can know how to take care of your brothers and your sisters. Look to yourself. Look to your Father who is in heaven, so that you can know how to take care of others. Serve others. Serve others and take care of them. Don't be self-serving. Jesus says that gate is wide and many people will take it, and it will lead to their destruction. But take the narrow gate and take care of one another. We know that when our brother and sister who are hungry, when we know that when they pray for food, that God's not going to send manna from heaven, right? He's not going to cause the things to fall from the sky and quail to appear in the morning. God's not going to do that for them, but he might send you. He might send you. He's not going to send manna from heaven, but he might send you. He's not going to cause a plant to grow over them so that they'll be shaded from the sun. But he might send you to provide shelter for your neighbor, your brother, and your sister. Food and shelter and clothing. Our Father knows that we need these things, doesn't he? Our Father in heaven knows that we need these things. And you know that they need these things. And so your neighbor needs them. Your brother needs them. Your sister needs them. You need them. So go and do for others, right? It's not complicated. The complexity is not in knowing all the rules. The complexity is not in knowing all the laws. The complexity is going and doing. And that can be complex sometimes. That can be difficult. It is really hard for us to go against ourselves. It's really hard for us to deny ourselves. It's really hard for us, for whatever reason, to put our own self-interest aside and serve somebody else. It's hard for us. But Jesus shows us how. Jesus teaches us what it looks like to self-sacrifice and truly love and serve somebody else instead of ourselves. Jesus shows us what it looks like to go and actually do and be the people that God desires of us. So go. Go and do for others. Give bread to those who need bread. Give fish to those who need fish. Provide shelter and clothing. Forgive your brother. Forgive your brother. Therefore, all these things we need, and all these things that we ask of our Father, we know that these are the same things that our brothers and sisters need also, and our neighbors need also. You don't need a rule book. You don't need a rule book. You just need to look to yourself and know how to treat your fellow man. Treat people the same way that you want them to treat you. Jesus says, this is the law and the prophets. So if there's anybody here this morning, if you need the prayers of this congregation, if you need to request forgiveness of God, help us to allow us to help you to pray with you and pray for you. If you need to put on Jesus in baptism and become part of the community of God and begin that process of serving one another by becoming part of the family of God, whatever your needs might be this morning, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.